Please remain standing as you read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8, and we'll read verse number 52. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8, and verse number 52. The Bible says, "And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." The Bible says again, "And all wept and bewailed her, but he said," talking about Jesus, "weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." I want to talk tonight on that little thought, she's not dead. Amen. Father, I pray tonight for your divine help. I pray, God, that you continue to breathe upon us. You've already blessed us, Lord, through song, and you've encouraged us, you've challenged us, you've helped us, Lord, you've motivated us. Now I pray, God, you take the living word of God, and I pray, God, you use it to, Lord, to once again draw us a little closer. I pray, God, you take your word and let it become alive to us. I pray, God, that you would challenge us, encourage us, help us in that particular area of life that we need to be helped. And for that, Father, we'll shout hallelujah. I pray, God, you guide my mind and my thoughts, my actions, all that I say and that I do. I pray, God, that you be the great orchestrator. And for that, Father, we'll shout hallelujah. And then, God, my mind shifts to that person that might be among us tonight who's not truly saved, but bought, born again, redeemed. But I pray, God, tonight, before they leave the building, they'll trust Jesus as Lord, Savior, yes, sir, and King. And for that, God, we'll shout hallelujah. God, help us tonight. Why? Because we desperately need it. And then, God, if there's anything else that I need to make mention of, but my mind can't bring it forth, I pray, God, you'd interject that also into our request. And for that, God, we'll thank you. But love you. Have your way now, Father. We'll talk to you a little bit later. Of course, in your son's name, we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. She is not dead. Now, pray for me as we go throughout the message. I'm a little under the weather, so I might cough here and there, especially if I laugh, but you just pray for me, amen? The Bible says in this verse, the Bible says in verse number 52, "And all wept and bewailed her, but he said," Jesus said, "weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And I thought to myself as I was reading these verses, that we all face situations where sometimes it seems like it's dead. It seems like it's done. It's over with. And in this situation, we see a real true life story of someone who everyone else thought was dead. You might have a person in your life that everybody looks at them and says, you know what? They're dead. They're done. Their life is over with. There's no hope for them. There's no victory for them. They've gone too far. But I'm here to tell you tonight, unless God says it's done, it's not done. Hallelujah. And as we see in these verses, my dear friends, we've got a God that will show us the truth about our situation. The first thing we see is the problem. The problem. Look back with me to verse number 40. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him." I like this part, "for they were all waiting for him." Well, you know what? We've been praying for the last weeks that God would meet with us here during revival. And we are anticipating his arrival. We are anticipating him showing up tonight. Matter of fact, he's already been showing up. He's already been helping us already. Amen. As our sister Jennifer was singing that song a few moments ago, about the way of the cross, I was reminded back in 2006. Were you there in 2006 of Victory? Did you sing that song during that week? Man, I tell you what. Now, I've just been reacquainted with her. But when you started singing that song, I said, yeah, I know her. I know her. It was in 2006 down in North Augusta, Georgia, at a church called Victory Baptist Church, Dr. Larry Brown, and they was in their camp meeting. And during that meeting there, man, God gave me some stuff that helped me, that freed me. Brother Craig Edwards preached a message that was called, what was it called again, sweetheart? You don't know. That was the name of the sermon, the message. I don't know. Amen. It was called The Sacrifice of Praise. the sacrifice of praise. And during that week, God gave me liberty and God gave me freedom to worship him as he would have me to. Because my dear friends, when you were to, if you were to go back in my life and rewind where I've come from, you'll find a person that was on drugs, a person that was on alcohol, that lived a wild life, a messed up life. But then one day God came by and gave me victory. So you know what, my dear friends? I've got a lot to praise God about. There's a lot to shout and sing about tonight, amen, because God has been good, amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, my dear friends, they were waiting for him. I like word studies. And that word waiting also means to anticipate, to expect. And verse 41 says, and behold, there came a man, the Bible says, named Jairus. And the Bible says that he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For the Bible says he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. We see the problem. This man has a 12-year-old daughter, and she lay a dying. She wasn't dead yet, but she was dying. She was on her way out. And this father, he comes to Jesus and he humbles himself, my friends, and he's seeking God's help. I'm going to tell you what, my friends, you want God to help us tonight? Hey, we have to humble ourselves. That pride has to go out the door, but humble yourself before a holy and a mighty God. I remember back in 1989, we was down there in Norcross, Georgia, at Galilean Baptist Church. Dr. Talbot Moore was the pastor. I remember walking inside that church, and I was away from God doing all kinds of things. Me and my wife had walked in the church. We weren't married at the time, but I remember going to that church. Man, I had earrings and a ponytail, and I was straight from Chicago. I'm like, you know, hey, what's up? What's up? What's the problem around here? Amen. But I had no idea, my dear friends, when that man got to preach, now I had never heard a white man preach before. Now, at that time, I did not even know there were white Baptists. I mean, because all Baptists I ever knew were black. And so when I heard him get ready to preach, I thought it would be like a priest. And he'd just get up there, you know, and he'll be, you know, real calm and real quiet. And he'll just say, you know, some stuff, you know, that's what I was expecting. But this man about this tall, he comes to the edge of the pulpit and it's set high. And he began to preach. I mean, he pulled one pants leg up. He pulled the other pants leg up. He got to preaching the word of God. And I'm sitting back here getting blown away by the preaching of God's holy word. The next thing I knew, my friends, I came back that night and the assistant pastor was preaching, Brother Bill Hardiman. Same Holy Ghost power. Before I knew it, I was sitting back here on this side here. Before I knew it, I come run down the aisle at the invitation. I fell upon my knees and my dear friends, I got things right with God. When I got back up, I was not the same. I left work on Friday cussing and telling dirty jokes. But I came back on Monday, my friends, being changed on the inside. Listen, my friend, we've got a real God, a genuine God, a life-changing God. Woo! Hallelujah. Now watch this. This man, he had a problem. His daughter, she lay a dying. But then the Bible says as he went, the people thronged him. They were crowding around him. And he wanted Jesus to come to his house. You know what? That's a good thing. Lord, come home with me. Yeah. Not here, but other churches. Yeah. Yeah. They wanted to leave Jesus at the church. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, don't come to my house. Yeah. Lord, don't come into my closet. Don't go in my refrigerator. Lord, don't go in there on my DVDs and my CDs. And yeah. Lord, just step right here at the church. Don't come to the house. But I'm going to tell you what, my friends, we let him come to the house. Some things will change. Let God come home with it. Don't just shout on a Sunday or worship. We want you to shout at the house. Shout on your job. Praise him, no matter wherever you might be. Hallelujah. But watch this, my friends. The Bible says here that people thronged him. He had a problem. And then we see, my dear friends, their perception. We know there's an interruption in verses 43 with the woman that touched the hem of his garment, but that's not our story tonight. And we drop down to verse number 49 after Jesus was dealing with her and she had been healed. The Bible says, verse number 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. We see their perception. while Jesus was taking care of somebody else, this father's daughter had died. Have you ever seen other folks get blessed? But now you was there first. But why they get blessed before you? What's going on here, Lord? I've been praying about my situation for a long time. They just came in and said, I need y'all to pray for this. And then within 24 hours, we're on Facebook. Prayers answered. Hallelujah. What about my situation? What about my circumstance? And here's his father. He gets some news, and their perception is this. They said, hold on a second. Let me tell you something they say. My daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. I like word studies. That word trouble here is a present imperative. It means to continuously. But it also means, my friends, to harass or to annoy. Listen. Don't harass Jesus any longer. No need to annoy him about this anymore. She's dead. You ever had that? Somebody say, no need to pray about that no more. It's a done deal. They have already walked out the house. They've left the home. There's no need to pray about that no more. I never forget, and Miss Elsa, she knows these people here, but I never forget, I got a call one night, and my wife was on the phone, and she said, come get him. Come get him. I'm done. It's over. Come get him. I remember getting our brother Billy Sampson came with me that night. I remember getting him, and we went over to the house, and they was in the garage. All of his stuff was out there in the garage. He had his pickup truck, and he was putting his stuff in the truck, and he was weeping. And she was telling him, you're out of here. Get him. He's gone. And all of a sudden, he was in the corner in a fetal position, balled up, and just weeping and just crying. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I didn't feel no sympathy for him because it was his fault. I felt no sympathy for him whatsoever. I mean, I felt bad for him, but I'm like, well, I mean, you put yourself out. We didn't went through the marital counseling thing. We didn't done all that. She's done. And my dear friends, she was done. We took him to the hotel, got him a room in the hotel. And I remember leaving there. I said, well, that's over with. You know, no need to pray about that no more. Well, you know what? That was around, about 15 years ago? Man, their marriage is stronger today than it's ever been before. Man, God brought them back together. When I was sitting there saying, it's done, it's over with, because you got a grown man in a fetal position crying, and she ain't sympathetic one bit. He gone. That's it. My dear friends, unless God says it's over, it ain't over, my dear friends. It might be the perception of the world. It might be your perception. It might be your view. But what's God's view? Oh, but it's done, preacher. Oh, I might as well leave. But watch this, my friends. We see their perception, but we see then the strong possibility. The Bible says in verse number 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Amen. The first thing he says is, fear not. Don't be afraid. My dear friends, that's our problem a lot of times. We're afraid. We have fear. And what does fear do? It paralyzes you. It causes us not to move. I remember, and I grew up in Chicago on the west side, and I'll never forget, as a teenager, we were standing on the corner one night, and this car pulls up, and the guy rolls out the window, and he pulls out a shotgun, and he aims at us, and back then, that's when Starsky and Hutch, some of y'all remember Starsky and Hutch, not the movie, I'm talking about the one that came on TV, the real one, amen? Well, I had watched Starsky and Hutch many a time. When that guy pulled that shotgun out, I'm going to tell you, man, I was rolling, I mean, I was moving. Doing my thing. But not James. James stood there in shock, in fear. And by God's grace, they just kept on driving. But James could have been dead because he was paralyzed by fear. And a lot of times, my dear friends, fear paralyzes us and then we won't move. We won't make that next step that God might want us to make because we're afraid of what may happen, what may not happen. We are filled with fear and anxiety. And what Jesus says to his dad is this, hey, hey, fear not. And then he says one more thing to him, another thing. He says, only believe, only alone, by itself, be persuaded only. In other words, he didn't say, I want you to add this to it. Just believe. Let me give you a verse out of the Bible. Look at Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, and look at verse number 22. Look what the Bible says. This is just what the Bible says. I'm just reading what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. But look what it says. Matthew 21 and verse number 22. The Bible says, God's word says, and all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, maybe believing, ye shall receive. Is that what it say? It says, and all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That's a key ingredient. How'd you get into the family of God? Believing. How are we supposed to be walking? Believing. But sometimes, my dear friends, we start walking and we get shaky. We're like, well, I don't know. I don't know if we should make that move or not. Wait a minute. Now fear comes in. Let's just wait a while. Let's just think about it. God says, move. What did he tell Egypt when they were standing there? He told Moses, go forward. Why are y'all still standing here? Go forward. My dear friends, a lot of times God's telling us, go forward. What are you waiting on? Well, I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on that. Do you believe? Yeah. Now, what is your belief in? Well, my belief is in my belief. That ain't going to work. It needs to be in what Jesus said. Jesus says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, when you and I face an enemy, the Lord gives us ways of having victory. For example, let me see here. Who in here is pretty strong? Big guy strong? Who, Aaron? Okay, come up for a minute, Aaron. Come up for a minute. Come up for a minute, Aaron. I need your help for a second. Who? Brian. Okay, Brian. Amen. I want you to steal nothing. Okay, all right. Now, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. Big guy, strong guy. You got your family here tonight? Okay. That's your wife and kids. That's your daddy. Hey, y'all. Okay. All right. Now, I want you to grab a hold of my wrist, both wrists, real tight. Okay. Now, I'm not going to hurt you. Okay. All right. Now, he has a hold of me. Okay. And I want to break free. So I'm going to break free. Okay. You ready? Everybody, whole family back there, sons, everybody. Okay. All right. There we go. Yeah, he got me. Oh, look at him. He's a rock, ain't he? All right. He got me. All right. Now, can you hang on real tight? You got me? All right. Real tight. Okay. Now, if you want to, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hang on real tight. Real tight. Okay, we'll go on three. One, two, three. Now, one more time. All right. All you've got. I mean, all you've got. Preacher will give you $100. All you've got. All you've got. Now, okay, one more time. One more time. All that you've got now. I mean, your wife looking. The son. Look, come on now. Everybody's watching. Okay, now. One more time. That one was kind of hanging in there. Okay, watch it now. One more time. One more time. It's all right. All that you've got now. Everything you've got. I mean, this is life or death, man. Come on. All right, now. See, what's the problem? The problem is this thumb. The thumb is the weakest member on his hand. And as long as he's holding me, if I go this way, he's got me. If I go this way, he's got me. But when I go in the direction of his thumb, he can't do nothing about it. Let's watch it. But it don't matter how strong he is. That's the weak area. And as long as I go up, like that part here, Just go up. Amen. Just go up. He's trying to, y'all. He's scratching me and everything. I got blood coming off here. But I mean, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. We go to the doctor after I get done preaching. But listen, as long as you go in that area, you will break free. It's the same thing, okay? It's the same thing with the Word of God. With the Word, go ahead. Give me a hand. All right. The same thing with the Word of God. Let's say the enemy's attacking you. And you say, okay, the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and fight back. Okay. All right. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Y'all know what Malachi 3:10 is, right? It's about tithing. How's that going to help me in this situation? I need to take that word that deals with my situation. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Or over there in Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all my need. Listen, my dear friends, start slaying him with that sword. Hallelujah. My dear friends, if we're going to fight, we know how to fight, and we are fighting with the precious Word of God. Hallelujah. Now watch this. We got to hurry up. Watch this now. We see, my friends. Wait a minute. I want to tempt nobody. All right, okay. So we see the strong possibility. He says, fear not, believe only. And watch this. And she shall be made half whole. The Bible says, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe, and listen. She'll be made whole. My dear friends, God comes to us. He gives us the ingredients to follow. And if we follow his instructions, guess what? We'll win the victory. Now watch this. The Bible shows a strong possibility. And then we see the promise. Verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden. And the Bible says, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, hallelujah, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. The Bible says that they bewailed her. That word bewailed means to beat one's breast in grief. Beating your chest in grief. Listen, my dear friends, have you ever been in that place? I mean, there's something that's so awful, something so horrendous that's taking place, and you just beat yourself, and you're just crying, and you're just weeping and weeping and weeping. That's how these folks were. Yeah. But then Jesus says, I got a promise for you. He says this. He says, don't weep. She's not dead, but sleepeth. Now, how the folks respond, we see that their perception continues, and they laughed him to scorn. Knowing that she was dead. I like word studies. That word knowing means to perceive with the eyes. As far as what they could see, she was dead. It was over. It was done. That's what they saw. What do we see with the natural eye? Remember that guy was down there with the prophet? He gets up in the morning like he always does. Goes outside. We're surrounded by the enemy. What are we going to do? He runs in there and he gets Elijah. Oh my goodness, we're done. We're doomed. See what's going on. And Elijah's like, Lord, open up his eyes. And when his eyes were open, he saw the chairs of fire surrounding him. My dear friends, what you might see with a natural eye is a financial crisis, a family issue. But the Bible says here, my friends, what does God say in his word? See what the word of God has to say. Because what I perceive with my eye looks messed up. My oldest son, DJ, friends with all these guys here, Damon and all these guys here. But they remember DJ when DJ didn't, Miss Elsa didn't come to church. My oldest son, DJ, he's 36, turned 36 last week. I know I look 36 myself. But anyhow, but I would go places and I'd pray. And I said, pray for my son, DJ. When DJ turned 18 years old, 3 months from graduating, he moved out the house, moved in with his girlfriend, and then he dropped out of school. And then, my friends, he did everything that I told him he could not do. He got all of his tattoos. He got his earrings. His hair was colored and all that. All, I mean, it was in braid, all kind of colors and stuff coming out. And I'm like, who is this? I remember preaching one Sunday, church packed. No other seats, but there's always some seats up front. DJ and his girlfriend was sitting right here on this side. And every time I would preach, and I would come over here, and they would say, look at your boy. Check him out. How you going to help somebody else's kids? You can't help your own. What you doing pastoring? What you doing preaching? Look at your boy. Man, we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray. And then what, about maybe 4 years ago, Julian, somewhere around there, 3 or 4 years ago, God began to deal with DJ's heart. And one day I was going to preach up in Maryland. And he said to me, can I go with you up to Maryland? You know? I said, you know I'm going all week. He said, yeah. It's a revival. Like, we have a preaching service. Like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He said, yeah. I said, okay. Because we driving up to Maryland. Ain't no way to get back to the house. Man, we're in that church service. God's dealing with DJ's heart. And my friends, we've seen DJ begin to change and turn. He had wound up staying, had to come back home, was living with us. And I'll never forget one time I walked into the living room where he was sleeping on the couch. That's where his room was at then. I remember walking in on him, and he was on his knees praying. I could not remember a time when I walked in on DJ praying, no time. But there he was on his knees praying. And make a long story short, God began to draw him back closer to himself. He would come to church and stand up with his hands up in the air, weeping and praising God. Now he's married, and they're about to have our second grandchild. Praise God. Man, friends. But I'll be preaching. The choir will be singing. And Damon DJ will stand up with his hands in the air, praising God. And all sometimes while the choir's singing, he'll come. We, in our church, you can come pray anytime the Lord's dealing with your heart. He'll come to the altars. He'll be praying. His wife will be on one side, and she'll be praying. And I'm like, DJ? DJ got more suits and ties than I ever thought about having. Before he got married, he'd been at the house. I said, son, can I borrow one of your ties? I'm like, DJ, y'all, see, y'all don't know my, I'm talking about DJ, okay? I'm talking about when he was younger. If I gave him a choice, do y'all want to go to church today? He'd have voted no. We'd be on the back row, and we'd be saying congregational songs, and he would not open his mouth not one time. And now, my friends, when I see him at the altars weeping, crying out to God, coming to church, following the Lord, and God's dealing his heart by some other things right now, so you pray for him. God's dealing by some stuff. I'm not liberty to say where he is, but God's dealing with him. You know what? The devil had told us he was done. I remember, my friends, when in high school, we got the call from the high school that DJ was in the hospital. What's he doing in the hospital? Kind of find out he was hanging out with some guys over there in Chicago that he wasn't supposed to be hanging out with after school and got into a gang fight. And they had the friends that left him. He was left behind and they was beating him with everything they could. They had pitchforks, all kinds of stuff. One guy pulled out a gun and would try to shoot him, but the gun jammed up on him and he finally got away. When we got to the hospital, DJ's eye, there was no eye. The whole thing was swelled over. And I'm sitting there. I wasn't mad at him. You know who I was mad at? The devil. Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't mad at the boys. Yeah. To me, it was the devil trying to get to me through my son. And I remember telling the devil, I said, hey, if you want me, you come get me. Yeah. You don't leave my boy alone. If you want me, you come and get me. Yeah. Well, I feel all that stuff. And I see DJ today. It just thrills my soul. One day we was together eating at the restaurant. And DJ said, we want to give you all this. Give us what? I mean, DJ, he gave us some money. Now, for you parents, you know for your kids to give you some money, we're talking about miracles have taken place. Most of the time, they're coming for money, amen? My wife counted the money out. You know, you don't do it right then, you know. My wife counted the money out when we got back. He gave us $300 just because. He says, Lord, just do my heart. I just want to give you this money. I'm like, DJ, what are you saying, preacher? Do you think it's dead? Does it look like with your eyes that it's done? What does God say? Watch this. So we see the perception continued. The Bible says here, they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But then verse 54, we see the powerful deliverance. And he put them all out. Let me pause here for a minute, man. Let me read this again. And he put them all out. Do you know, my dear friends, that there's some people that you've got to remove yourself from? Because, my friends, they will hinder your faith and your confidence and in living and true God. Because they're the naysayers. But, my dear friends, some folks, yes, I need you to step out for a minute. We figured a whole, but it's so, baby, bless your heart. Now, we all know that word bless your heart has many different meanings. This lady in our church, she used to be a gangbanger and all that kind of stuff, got saved and everything. You know, I think I know Miss Heather. And somebody was always telling her, bless your heart. And they told her with the double meaning behind bless your heart. And sometimes bless your heart means you po' thing. One time I said, bless your heart, Miss Heather. She said, bless your heart. And I was like, what is this? I had to explain to her there was more to that meaning than one thing, amen. But there's some people you've got to remove because they will hinder you from getting closer to God. The Bible says right here, and he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. It's time for you to stand. And then the Bible shows us next, my dear friends, the parents' astonishment and her spirit. And her spirit came again, my soul. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them, hey, that they should tell no man what was done. That word astonished also means to be out of one's mind, like insane. This is crazy. I mean, here was his daughter. She was dead. It was done. It was over. And now she's standing. Blew her mind. You got any moms here? You got a daughter here? Why don't you bring both the girls up here for a minute. Now, can you imagine? Pretty girls. Can you imagine? I want you girls to do me a favor and just sit right here for a second. Sit right here. You come sit right here. Okay. Now I want y'all to lay your heads right here. Yeah. Just turn around, lay your head down. Right. Just right, lay it right there. Yeah. Now, they're, as far as the world's concerned, they're done. It's over. Yeah. Over. Man, they kneel at the right place. That's a good place to be kneeling, ain't it? At the altar. But then God comes by and begins to touch them. He says to them, arise. And they begin to stand up. And now here's this mama. She's been praying and praying and praying and praying. Now, if she sees her two girls rise, you'd be just go, oh, ain't that nice? What you gonna do, mama? Man, she's gonna grab them. And she's going to hold them tight. He's going to blow her mind. My dear friends, that's what God does. He's in the mind-blowing business. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Listen, my dear friends, maybe you think it's done. Maybe you think it's over with. There's no hope. Listen, when I was involved in drugs, man, it was like I was on a merry-go-round. I was going around and around and around, and I was getting nowhere. I didn't even think about I would have a kids or a wife or a grandkids. When 21 came up, I thought for sure I was going to be dead. Because my grandmother would tell me, you're not going to live to see 21. And man, when 21 was coming up, brother, I'm serious. I'm like, this is the day. It's over with. Well, you know what? There's something called grace and called mercy. 21 came and went. 22 came and went. Then 23 came. And at the age of 23 years old, down at Galilean Baptist Church in Norcross, Georgia, Dr. Talbot Moore, the pastor, God came by and arrested my soul. I knew nothing about Holy Ghost conviction. But I remember after he preached that morning, I was telling you guys about, we had a Suzuki Sidekick, brand new. I remember getting inside that Suzuki Sidekick, and I remember grabbing a hold of that handle, and I remember I was just shaking. But I didn't know anything about Holy Ghost conviction. God had grabbed a hold of me, and I'm like, what's wrong with me? Because see, the church I grew up in, I mean, you know, they taught salvation, but then when you talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, when folks would fall out and, you know, they jump pews and they would, you know, and all this, we had smell of salt and they have to get them back up. And I'm like, I don't know if I want the Holy Ghost. Listen, my dear friends, I didn't know, but he came in and dwelt you on a permanent basis. When you trusted Christ, your Savior, that he moved on the inside. My dear friends, and he'll never, ever leave you. But my friends, he's there to help you every step of the way. But I'm going to tell you what, I didn't think I would have anything that God's given me today, but God's grace. And God's mercy. Folks might say, he's dead. He's done. It's over with. It's too much time has passed away. There's no hope. Maybe you're here tonight and it looks like it's done. It looks like it's going to always be this way. And maybe you're here tonight. Nobody even knows about it. But you contemplated even taking your own life because you feel like there's no way of victory. Or rescue for you. One of the sad things I had to do this past week was this. A good friend of mine, my little brother Eddie Hebner, his brother Rob was on drugs real bad. He felt like there was no hope, 51 years old. Rob walked out to the garage, put a rope around his neck, and he hung himself. From Saturday to Monday, nobody knew he was in the garage because he's supposed to be moving out the house. His son and his daughter's boyfriend was trying to get in the garage because the garage was locked. They couldn't get inside. And they said, well, we're just going to kick the door down. When they kicked the door down, there was Rob, had hung himself. This son saw his dad hanging there. Now, when you learn about Rob, you'll find out that Rob was a good person. What I mean by this is this. He was always trying to help people. At the funeral service, the male lady attended the funeral service. She came up to speak, and she said this. In the summertime, Rob would have bottles of water, and he would find out where she was at on her route. This was his male lady, and give her a cold glass, a cold bottles of water. In the wintertime, he would have coffee waiting for her. When she come by from walking, dropping off the mail. He was that type of person, but he was trapped with the drugs and the alcohol. He was trapped. He was in a prison. And to him, his only, what he could see, the only way out was to simply take his own life. Because he had been trying, 51 years old, been trying and trying and trying. Listen, my dear friends, that's not the way out. That's not the escape route. The escape route is Jesus Christ. You said, but I tried Jesus. I prayed at the altar. I prayed. But nothing's happened. Do you know what you do? You keep praying. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. And even I was living out there like I should not live. My dear friends, I pray every day. They were selfish prayers, but I pray every day. Now I remember praying saying, God, take away his desire for drinking. Take away his desire for drugs and stuff like this. I never forget, after I stopped doing the drugs, I never forget this, I was still drinking. But I said, God, take away that desire. I remember one day, this is right before we went to Galilean. My wife was walking by. We weren't married at the time. She walked by, and she happened to kick over a half can of beer. And she said, I'm so sick and tired of you leaving these half cans of beer laying around the house. And I remember saying to her, I said, I don't know what it is. I can't drink a whole can like I used to. And it dawned on me. God was taking that desire away. I would have a six pack that might be gone in 20 minutes, but now it's in the refrigerator all week. I'm like, I got to go to church. And that was the step that led me to getting back and going to Galilee and the rest I told you guys a few moments ago. You know what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is don't stop praying. Yeah, that's right. Don't stop praying. Yeah, but nothing seems to be happening. Everybody else, they getting blessings. Everybody else, they getting deliverance. They getting answers. They getting answers. And man, I'm sitting here and I'm tithing them. I'm coming to the church and I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. But like nothing's happening. Keep on. Keep on. Deliverance is just around the corner. What are you saying, preacher? Maybe it looks like it's dead. Maybe it looks like it's over. But it's not over until God says it's over. I got three questions. We're done. My first question to you is this. Has someone told you there's no hope? Has someone told you there's no hope? Secondly, does your situation look, key word, look dead? Does your situation look dead? And the third question is this. What has the Holy Spirit said to you about it? Yeah. What has he said? Amen. You say, well, I can't hear him. I can't, he ain't said nothing. Well, it might be because there's too much stuff. There's crowd in your ear. There's some things hindering your hearing. It needs to get out the way. Maybe we need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to hear you speak to my heart. God, help me to hear what you have to say about my situation. Lord, help me to hear from you. And then, Lord, once I've heard from you, then follow your directions that will give me the victory that I long to have. The Bible says, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he didn't say, I might give you rest. He says, I will give you rest. Amen. By the way, I like word studies. That word rest also means refreshing. Amen. Do you need to be refreshed tonight? He says, come to me. I'll give you what you need. The key word, though, is come. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I've done my best to share the word of God as you gave it to me, Lord, to share the precious souls that have gathered in this building tonight. And God, perhaps there's somebody here tonight that's in a battle. They're in a dog fight. And God, it seems like they're on the losing end of this battle. But perhaps, God, they'll come to you tonight and say, Lord, I'm coming. God, help me. Let me hear from you, Lord. And then, God, help me. Key word, Father, help me to follow your directions so that I may win the victory. And then, God, perhaps there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, or they're not sure if they die tonight that they go to heaven, but they want to be sure. I pray, God, they come talk to the pastor or myself or someone else they have confidence in, and we will show them from the word of God how to be sure. And then, God, perhaps there's folks that want to pray for someone else. They want to intercede on someone else's behalf. There's someone, God, that's struggling, that's near the point of death, spiritually speaking, and they want to pray for that person. I pray, God, they come. Father, we've heard the songs. We've heard the sermon. And now, Father, it's time to respond. Help us. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps the Lord speaking to your heart about coming tonight and talking with him. I wonder if you slip out your seat, gather around these altars. If you can't kneel, maybe stand around the altars. But talk to God. Listen to God. Follow God's directions and win the victory that God wants to give you tonight. He simply says to come. It's not over unless God says it's over. And that's the key word. What has God said about it? What has God said about your situation? Pastor.